to another edition of Extra Features Interviews. Today we have an excellent film called Brute Sanity with Sam. I'm going to screw up your last name, so I'll let you say it.
It's Sam Vanagray.
Vanagray, great, man. And you're like an indie filmmaker I've ever seen, doing 48-hour things.
Right.
That's awesome. So do you want to talk about your film first, or do you want to talk about what your project you just did, or what's good for you?
I'll talk about Brute Sanity, and thank you. I'm excited to be on Extra Features Podcast.
And we're very excited to have you, honestly. I mean, my bad with you. I want to apologize on the air to say I'm really sorry for being late.
Right, so Brute Sanity is a science fiction movie, a feature film, that just recently hit the so-called film festival circuit. And I wrote and directed it, and I actually play a character in the film as well.
You play an important character in the film.
Yep.
Which is great. And
so, okay, so I'll just start talking. If I start rambling, feel free.
No, I want you to ramble. I'll ask questions. We'll get it all out by the end, I promise.
So, Brute Sanity is about a woman named Sheridan who studies neuropsychology, and for people who aren't familiar with that term, that is the real-life science where they try to correlate brain states with mental behavior. So it's one of these studies of mine. So anyway, she gets hired by the FBI, and then there is some fairly traumatic incident right in the beginning of the movie, which triggers her to quit the FBI and go back to school as a postdoc studying neuropsychology. Her former FBI boss, it turns out he's involved in some very shady dealings involving an alien artifact. And that's when things start to get wacky. And it ends up being Sheridan fighting against this insidious FBI agent named Agent Maskin to find the missing piece of this alien artifact before all hell breaks loose and before Maskin gains a ridiculous amount of power. And so that ties into the science fiction gimmick through sanity, is that this artifact mutates reality. In other words, it causes manifestations. In that regard, it's almost kind of like a horror film, except that I just chose to make up a science fiction reason for why this is happening. So it turns into kind of a trapped in the building type of story.
Okay, we can start. Okay, I want to stop you there. Now, what the choice was, it looked like more from the film. I enjoyed the film, obviously. You were on a very micro budget, I would say, on the film.
Oh, that it's ultra low budget.
Because it looked like you shot, like, the beginning of the movie is shot in the same place. I'm like, wait a second, they were already there. I'm starting to recognize where you were already. I go, that's kind of cool. I like how you used it for two different locations. If you weren't paying attention as a viewer, you would totally missed it.
Yeah, if there are corners to be cut, we cut them.
Well, that's fine, but you know, your film has a beginning, middle, and end. You can't be upset by that. I thought it worked.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually, it's my first big movie that I've directed, so I learned a lot. You know, I'm glad that I finished it, and I'm actually still tweaking the edit for the distribution version.
Okay.
But you know, I learned that even on this, what I thought was a simple enough script, it was actually still very complicated, and so we cut a lot. I ended up chopping a lot of stuff out of just because of scheduling and time reasons.
So you chopped out parts of the plot and stuff, is what you're trying to tell me?
I prioritized it so as not to mess up the plot too much, but it was originally going to be a little bit more action-oriented.
Okay, I could see that, but I thought it worked on the budget, because I think if you had more action, it wouldn't have worked so much on your level.
Sometimes that happens. Sometimes constraints make the movie better. But, you know, there's let's be honest, there's definitely mistakes, what I would call mistakes, as far as, getting coverage and the shots.
But
there's, I'm glad that overall we finished it, which is hard to do. Actually, everyone on the film, and I really, really thank all the actors. I feel like I hired almost every actor in Massachusetts for this movie, but a lot of them worked. Most of them worked for free, and almost everyone, the crew and the actors, all had other jobs.
I was wondering that. The lead looked like
coming to my film like at night and on the weekends and on Easter. So I'm really glad that I was able to sort of juggle everyone together.
Okay, I do have some questions. Can I ask now, or?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good. The actress, the lead, she looked like a student actress at times. Like, did you help her a lot along the way, or she just knew what to do?
No, I didn't. I directed the actress, but I didn't. She's not a student actor. She does look very young.
Yeah, because I was wondering about her.
She looks younger than she is. But,
okay, that's fine.
No, she's actually a very great actress. And I think that anytime there's sort of a weirdness in what cuts I used is more of my mistake rather than the actor's choices.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was working
on. The director is supposed to say, oh, you should, let's take another take, stuff like that. There's a few parts where I ended up with a totally different take than I thought we had gotten. She has a lot. She could go places. I've seen her do other things. We also just did a 48-hour film festival film with her. And she's done some theater as well.
Okay.
And this is Jovi Kwanye we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, she could do, and she's been in a long time ago, she was in some larger, more closer to Hollywood type things. But, no, she could do professional Hollywood level acting.
Okay, I could see that. Like, I see potential with her. I was just wondering if she knew and I've never heard of her because I didn't recognize her, which is possible. So, what was your budget on the film? Is questions I like to know. Like, how much did you spend on it, and how did you pay for it?
It was.
If you want to tell me, you don't have to.
No, I mean the budget was about $25,000.
That's a decent budget.
But when you include like film festival stuff and other accumulated expenses, it might be closer to $30,000. And I raised the money myself by. Just saving portions of my day job money.
Wow, that's tough. That is really tough. But look, you got a great film out of it. Are you touring outside of Massachusetts with the film?
I've sent it all over the place for film festivals.
Okay, good.
It premiered in England recently at a first-year convention called Doncaster, England.
That's awesome.
I'm hoping it'll show in somewhere in Europe. That would be awesome. I'm trying to get it everywhere. And friends keep asking, is it going to be in Seattle? Or is it going to be in Utah? And unfortunately, I can't force the judges of.
Yeah, those are big film festivals too.
Except in, definitely science fiction and horror conventions like it.
That's
so
great, though. But, I mean, you're getting your name out there. You're getting the film out there. And hopefully you'll get some buys on Amazon and Vimeo or.
Yeah, I'm probably going to end up putting it on Amazon. Not sure. Maybe some other VOD places as well.
That's great. And that's it. I got to know, where do you find your actors? These are the questions I have.
So they were all Boston area actors. And the reason I did that is because we didn't have money to pay for shipping people in.
Well, that's okay. Use what's local. That makes sense.
There was definitely interest from other areas. And I was like, I'm sorry. We can't be flying. We can't afford to fly people in no matter how good you are. But it turns out Boston has actually a very good film community, at least with actors. I've been quite impressed, actually. And there's a lot of schools here, too, training new film people. Emerson, Boston University, the Art Institute, even smaller colleges like Bunker Hill. They're all churning out all these actors and film people. A lot of them are quite good.
That's awesome.
And it's actually, there's so many good actors here and not enough films. Like Hollywood comes to Massachusetts for tax breaks.
Yeah.
But they've already cast the leads in those movies from Hollywood. What? So for actors to be in those movies, you're just an extra.
Right.
So we've got all these good actors with, you know, looking for movies here.
Well, that's great for you, that. So you got a good talent pool to pull from.
Yeah, and so the way I do is mostly live auditions. There's a few where we did just video auditions. Some people I had met before, and I thought of them, and I messaged them like, hey, want to be in my new movie?
That's great. I think that's awesome. Now, how did you find their locations? Were they loaned to you, or you just said, that's my work, I'm going to shoot there?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the most, things most likely to make my hair turn white is trying to find sets and locations. So I made sort of a makeshift studio in a furniture warehouse outlet type thing where they have like these studios and rooms that they now rent out.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't even get it actually in the city of, it wasn't in Boston City. I had, because it's too expensive in Boston, so I had to sort of go out to a town that's like 45 minutes away drive where it's cheaper. And so this furniture store rents out rooms. So I got this like suite that's like a few rooms connected together and rented it for 2 months. And, we made the most that we could out of these. but I chose it because it was like white, white walls. It's vaguely office-like. It had the glass window, which I needed for a couple scenes.
Yes, you did. Absolutely, you did.
And then there was a whole bunch of sort of afterwards picking up things here and there. I filmed two different apartments in a single apartment, just with different color correction. I rented, using Liquid Space, I rented an office for a few hours in Cambridge. We did some guerrilla shooting outside in Cambridge and Boston.
I was wondering, that was my next question, because it looks like it was some guerrilla shooting on that one scene.
Yeah.
When you're outside the building.
Well, Boston's fairly nice about that. We definitely had a policeman cruise, check us out. Realized, there's people with a camera, it's not nothing wrong. But I've heard you can't exactly do that in other cities without permits.
I don't know. I'm sure you could do it in my hometown, but I don't think everybody's ever tried. At least I've never seen one.
We only had two police. I feel like every time I do a movie, there's a police person. Not in a bad way, but with that furniture place that I rented, the first night I was there, they didn't give me instructions as to which door to use, and I chose the wrong door, and it set off the alarm.
Uh-oh.
And I have to give them credit. The Avon police are very quick. They came right there. Right there. But I explained it and they understood what happened.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like you have a great community going on. Your film's doing well. You got great things of actors. And what about you? Why did you choose yourself to be in the movie as opposed to somebody else? You just felt that was a good part for you? As if you played this character before, I guess what I'm asking.
No, I haven't played the character before, but, I mean, part of the fun of writing a script and directing is that I can write a role for myself that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought you had an interesting role. The way the character was presented in the film, I thought maybe he had other films in the future or you had done a film in the past with him.
No, I mean, I just seemed like a fun thing to do to play a thief. And I've been in several local student and indie films,
okay.
But I felt like I was always getting nicer roles.
Right.
Not like bad guys. So that I started to think, maybe I want to play, he's not super bad, but he's a little bit bad.
I liked him.
I think so. Also, if you are an actor and you can't find roles, that's one way to do it, is just make your own movie and cast yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of like me in podcasting. I can't get a job in radio, so I just do this for fun.
It's also a terrible idea, though, because it's really hard to direct and act and produce at the same time.
I was wondering about the editing. Was it harder to edit on those shots? Because I found the action scenes were, I don't want to say clunky, because I don't think that's the right word, because it's a student film. I found you did your edits right there. I could see the edits a few times.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a learning experience of how do you schedule all the shots you want.
Right.
And, you know, I ended up chopping off a lot. And it's really the art of shot lists. And now I know how to do it.
Okay, great.
So really, it's not just... there's a lot of things I storyboarded and then just totally realized I storyboarded the wrong things because they were cut out completely. And there's things like where I made the shot list, but the shot list was too big and wouldn't fit into our schedule, and we just started chopping things off. But yeah, the art of directing and stuff, you really have to get into the less glamorous aspects of planning the shots. Unless you have the luxury of, $100 million, and you're just getting basic coverage, and you slap it together in the editing room. You have to be very careful about making sure the shots are going to fit together with seamless cuts.
Well, I guess this is interesting. Are you sure?
It's a big learning experience, and I feel like this is my dark star, sort of. Like John Carpenter's Dark Star.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
I don't think it's a great movie, but it's my movie that will let me make the next one be really good.
No, I don't think you should feel that way. I asked to review your film because I enjoy watching these films. I watch a lot of Hollywood film, and I enjoy watching what you do. It's much more interesting to me.
What's that?
I want to see how indies guys do it. Because I know how a studio just has all the money they want to do it 9 times out of 10. I want to see how you do it. That's why I ask questions. How did you cast? How did you do this? I'm interested in that. The budgets for these films I like.
Yeah. One thing that a lot of people fail with that you have to do, and it's not glamorous, but you have to do the scheduling. And scheduling doesn't mean you invite all 50 people all at once.
Absolutely not.
Turns out people don't want to sit around for several days doing nothing. They have other things to do. So there's a lot of juggling. It's kind of a, what some math people might call a constraint satisfaction problem.
It absolutely is.
And it's hard, but if you can do it, you can get a super low budget movie. We did tricks like we've got people filmed who aren't even there on the same day, and we're putting them in the same rooms together.
Oh, wow, okay.
I had to... Usually you film what they call masters first, and then do close-ups. There's some things where we did it backwards because the other actors weren't there that day, and I couldn't sync the schedules of certain actors, so we just did things backwards in some cases.
That's great.
A lot of dirty tricks like that.
And what about your music? How did you come to choose that? Because I think you only had music in two shots.
Is there more than two? There's a lot of music.
Okay. Then
you mean the composed music?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
So there's actually a new music mix that you haven't heard yet.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not quite integrated fully. So what you heard, there's a lot of copied and pasting of the same music.
Yes, that's the copy I heard. That's what I was referring
to. Yeah, so there's actually a lot more composed music from Evan Langley. I'm integrating it right now for the final version of the film.
Okay, so I didn't see the final cut then.
Right.
Okay, which is fine.
So Evan's he's a DJ also, but he's great at composing music and analyzing the emotional content of the film and whatnot.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of a balance between me being like, oh, make it more electronic, and him wanting to add more guitars and stuff like that. But it worked out fairly nice. there's still sort of the dubstepy song at the end. Just because I wanted to do something weird.
Yeah, I liked it though.
People don't normally do.
I did like that song. I was getting to that. Perfect. You are right on my cue. I love it. Do you provide any catering to feed your guys since they're working for free?
Yeah, I mean, it was usually random, like, local things, like pizza and burritos and stuff, and there was always coffee being brought in and whatnot. Yeah, you have to feed people. We had tons of snacks all the time.
That's great. Is there anything else you want to talk about I didn't touch on? Because I do have a few other questions, but a little more fun, not concerning your film.
Okay. I guess it's a whole other big thing of, like, you know, is there a theme of the movie? There is a theme.
Okay, let's hear it, because I didn't get it then. I apologize.
And, you know, when you make – this is a common thing that any – you know, we all say there's a theme in our movie, and then no one is sure what the theme is. But it's just about perception as an interface. Okay. So the movie's about perception.
Absolutely, I can see that.
There's a little bit of a pro-science aspect. So the hero is a scientist.
Yes, absolutely.
And she's fighting against the guy who wants to cover up, you know, a revolutionary device and just keep it for himself.
Well, I think you presented that. Absolutely. So I'll give you the two fun questions then, the easy questions. Great. I'm going to lob them to you for the end of the thing. I need your favorite film of all times, and why?
Okay, so I have...
You can have 10, it's all good.
Favorite films. How many am I allowed to...
As many as you want to talk about, because I love talking about film in general, so...
Okay, I mean, let's go with something more obscure.
Well, Dark Star is pretty obscure, I would say. I know the film. I've never seen it. I can be honest. I've never seen it.
Okay. I mean, a couple obscure movies that I've seen in the past few years that I liked a lot. One is Bartleby with Crispin Glover.
I have actually seen that. Okay.
You're the second person who's. Okay. Yeah, we may be the only people who've ever seen that.
I love Crispin Glover, so.
Another film that influenced Bruce Sanity is a version of Faust, directed by Alexander Sokurov.
Oh my God! Okay, that was really good. Okay.
I know it's not at all evident in Bruce Sanity, but I just thought so that it almost seemed comedic that they've got basically the devil ends up walking around with Faust, who's a scientist in this version of Faust, and it's almost like they're buddies going on like an adventure for the middle of the movie. I just thought that was a really funny way of doing Faust. And just made me think, you know, what if they did Faust, but it's like a buddy cop movie?
Wow, you got in depth, man. Wow, Faust. You don't hear that often. Okay.
I'm not saying I totally understand Sokurov, but it's also a very weird movie, if you like weird movies.
I have to check it out. I have not seen it, I'll be honest.
With the movie you saw, that we all saw, Bartleby, that's another weird movie. And I'm not even sure why it works, but for some reason, just that sort of creepiness of, like, the camera staring at, like, the air conditioner vent, and Crispin Glover is just so perfect at creepy.
He is. But Lynch does that for me, watching Lynch films.
I love the Lynch films as well.
I'm kind of like, where is he going? Like a Razorhead, I'm just like, okay, it's Lynch. Just accept it.
They don't have to follow any real logic.
I don't think there is logic to Lynch.
Internal logic.
Blue Velvet's got the same problem for me. I like the film, but I can't explain it to you.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, yeah, some of these directors, like, you know, they're masters of, like, sort of subconscious.
But I like difference, you know? I mean, I love Spielberg, but I like Lynch at the same time because it's something different.
Yeah, and, you know, I like a lot of popular films as well. I like Christopher Nolan's movies.
Yes, I think he's got great depth in all his films, and I mean depth. I see more and more every time. If I watch it again, I see something different. Cameras, setups, editing, I think he's just phenomenal at all that stuff.
Yeah. And he gets, I don't know who his editors are, but they are really good.
They're amazing.
If you analyze Inception and Batman movies, if you look really closely, you start to know some flaws, but they're covered up by the editing so well that...
I think he's got great editors. He always seems to have really good opening shots to all of them. Like, I've seen the opening of Dunkirk, same thing. I'm just like, this blows me away.
Yeah, he definitely... The Dark Knight has so many stories that you start reading about it. There's so many great stories about that. Like, for the sound and music design, Hans Zimmer... Like, I think it was in the opening scene, like, the Joker theme, which is, like, basically one-note cello. Hans Zimmer got some famous cellist to play that one note and then, like, copied it, like, 800 times into his sound editor to make this, like, you know, thousand-layer, single-note-based music thing. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
The effort to go into every little part of that.
I think you have a book inside you coming out. I can hear it.
Maybe.
Something to sell. Okay. That was awesome. The ask question's really easy. Your favorite fun film?
My favorite what?
Fun film, like something you just sit down and pop on when somebody's over.
Oh, fun film. Oh. I mean, I'm definitely a fan of humorous horror movies like that Sam Raimi does.
Evil Dead, you mean?
Yeah, like Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. What else is fun? I mean, I'm a big action fan. I think that...
Some Van Damme?
I think that Terminator 2 is both fun and very well executed as far as film goes.
No, I agree.
I love action movies. A lot of them are really bad, but every once in a while you get a good one. John Wick and John Wick 2
are just
those are probably, you know, those are purposely designed to be fun action films. They even have references to the silent film in John Wick 2.
Yes,
it's like, you know, it's almost slapstick, but not quite. And just I don't know how Keanu Reeves manages to make guns look so good. Somehow he does it.
Yeah, he did it in The Matrix too. I mean, that opening scene when he gets the guns, it looks perfect. Again, it could just be the way they shoot him. Maybe he just gets it.
He's an expert, I think, at movement and acting. It doesn't even matter if he talks. He's so good at body.
I have to give you that. I don't want him to talk. I don't really enjoy his conversation, but he's got great movement.
Yes.
And I do see that.
It helps it helps that he learned Kung Fu as well.
Well, I loved that one film, the Kung Fu film he did with the, I can't remember the name of it. He's the evil guy at the end and they have a Kung Fu fight.
The Man of Tai Chi.
Oh, love that film. Absolutely fantastic. Great action film. So, are you going to see more karate and stuff in your future films, then, or?
I've been thinking about that for a long time, so I've got a lot of ideas that will translate visually into action. So, yes, definitely there will be heavy action-oriented visuals in one of my next films.
Awesome.
I just have to make sure that I have the right, you know, schedule/budget. I don't want to do crappy action, you know. I want it to be, and of course there's safety as well. You don't just tell people to fight each other. It has to be very safe.
Well, it has to be choreographed ahead of time, practicing.
Exactly.
But I think in your area, if you put that out, I think you would find enough actors to sit there and practice for a little while. I mean, even, oh my God, my brain's blanking. The one on HBO right now, they practiced for like 6 months before they filmed that show.
Yeah, you can take infinite amount of time.
AMC.
There is even a couple people on Group Sanity who do know martial arts or wrestling, but I just didn't have time to do a safe choreographed.
Well, it's your first feature length.
Shoot and stuff, but But yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing another movie where the action is integrated into the plot, and the, you know, as one of my books says, it's the art of nonverbal dialogue.
It is. Well, that's great. I think everything you're doing. What's the name of your 48-hour film? Because I haven't heard.
It's called Bracelet Instinct. Kind of a joke on Basic Instinct.
Okay.
Because there's a requirement, so they have parameters. So one of them is it has to have a bracelet.
It's not been released yet anywhere?
I'm not sure if it's been. If it's not, it'll be put online soon. I don't think it's online yet. There is a trailer. I can send you the link to that.
That would be awesome. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it's a comedy. It played on Thursday next door in Somerville, Massachusetts. The crowd loved it.
Great.
And it wasn't just our team laughing. It was, you know, it was strangers laughing. So
that's what you want to see, funny. Right? That's good. That's excellent. Excellent. Excellent news. Okay, I really have nothing else for you. Do you have anything else to add, or I guess we're good?
No, I guess we're good. Just everyone keep a lookout for Brute Sanity. Eventually it'll be probably on Amazon and or other places. And hopefully you'll hear from me sometime in the next couple of years with a new and super more awesome movie.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, we enjoyed this one. At least I did. And I'm sure our listeners will enjoy it, too.
Yep. And keep up the good fight for indie sci-fi and horror.
There's
actually a lot of very interesting indie horror movies, especially, that are coming out that everyone should watch.
Well, I think people should support indie film more in general.
Yeah, if you want Hollywood, you know, if you're getting sick of reboots...
Yeah.
There's a lot of indie stuff out there now.
And Brute Sanity's one of them, so please go out and purchase it on Vimeo or Amazon. Go get it. Go find it.
Even if you can't afford it, I'll give it to you for free.
Wow, there you go. What a nice guy. Well, thank you for your time.
And thank you.
Okay.